from the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, October 10th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. Okay. What if you didn't mean to say it?
Finally, some censorship we can get behind.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
That's it, right?
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happened on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I'm excited.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Oh, really?
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, sure. Like that's ever going to happen. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1964 that the Tokyo Olympics opening ceremony was the first to be relayed live by satellite. Yeah. Thanks to the new technology, you could actually make out what was happening without a bunch of diagonal static lines across the screen. And it was on this day in 1973... Vice President Spiro Agnew resigned after being charged with evasion of federal income tax. My goodness, would a vice president really do such a thing? And to illustrate how times have changed, today politicians are expected to avoid paying their taxes.
Money, money, money.
By now, you have heard of the ISIS-linked plot against Americans on Election Day. And the target would be a large group of voters somewhere here in the United States. The perp, who has been apprehended by the feds, followed by the name of Nasser Ahmad Tawedi. He's 27 and somehow obtained firearms and ammunition to conduct a what would, of course, be a violent attack on U.S. soil, as well as taking a number of steps to prepare for the plot. And let's see here. Merrick Garland, our attorney general, the man who I don't trust any farther than I can throw him, he says, as charged, the Justice Department foiled the defendant's plot to acquire semi-automatic weapons and commit a violent attack in the name of ISIS on U.S. soil on Election Day. Ahead of the planned attack, Tawhedi allegedly liquidated his family's assets, resettled members of his family overseas, acquired AK-47 assault rifles and ammunition. Well, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. I mean, been warning about this ever since the Biden administration opened our borders, right? I mean, I've said this time and time again, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. When and where will something like this happen? Well, the Justice Department released this announcement concerning the plot and the charges filed against Nasser Tawhedi, which includes details of his alleged involvement in ISIS communications and fundraising for the terror group. So, let me go ahead and read the actual release from the Justice Department. It says here, the Justice Department today, which of course was day before yesterday, that'd be Tuesday. The Justice Department today announced charges against a citizen of Afghanistan residing in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, for conspiring to conduct an Election Day terrorist attack in the United States on behalf of the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, which of course we know as ISIS, a designated foreign terrorist organization, of course, which the Justice Department refers to foreign terrorist organizations as FTOs, because we all have to have these alphabet soup codes for everything, right? Well, anyhow, they went on to say that according to a criminal complaint filed today, which would have been Tuesday, Nasser Ahmad Tawhedi, 27, conspired and attempted to provide material support to ISIS and obtained firearms and ammunition to conduct a violent attack on U.S. soil in the name of ISIS. As part of the plot, the defendant allegedly took steps to liquidate his family's assets, resettle members of his family overseas, acquire AK-47 assault rifles and ammunition, and commit a terrorist attack in the United States. As charged, the Justice Department foiled the defendant's plot to acquire semi-automatic weapons and commit a violent attack in the name of ISIS on U.S. soil on Election Day. We will continue to combat the ongoing threat that ISIS and its supporters pose to America's national security, and we will identify, investigate, and prosecute the individuals who seek to terrorize the American people. But, by the way, these words are from Merrick Garland. He says, I'm deeply grateful to the public servants of the FBI, National Security Division, and U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western. That part is cut out here for some reason. For the Western District, I guess. This defendant, motivated by ISIS, allegedly conspired to commit a violent attack on Election Day here on our homeland. According to FBI Director Christopher Wray, another person in our government I don't trust. I am proud of, this is a quote from Christopher Wray. I'm proud of the men and women of the FBI who uncovered and stopped the plot before anyone was harmed. Terrorism is still the FBI's number one priority, and we'll use every resource to protect the American people. Thanks to the relentless efforts of the FBI, National Security Division's Counterterrorism Section, and federal prosecutors in my office, the alleged plan to commit an attack on Election Day was disrupted, and Mr. Tawedi was arrested. Okay, that was a statement from U.S. Attorney Robert J. Troster for the Western District of Oklahoma. And he went on to say, fighting terrorism remains the top priority of the Justice Department. We will continue to pursue, disrupt, and hold accountable those who plot to commit acts of terrorism against our country and our people. According to the criminal complaint, this, by the way, is still the official announcement that was issued on Tuesday. According to the criminal complaint, as part of the investigation into Tawedi, the FBI searched Tawedi's phone and obtained communications between Tawedi and a person who facilitated recruitment, training, and indoctrination of persons who expressed interest in terrorist activity and who Tawedi understood to be affiliated with ISIS. Tawedi was also seen in a video recorded on July 20th reading to two children text that describes the rewards a martyr receives in the afterlife. Tawedi also allegedly accessed, viewed, and saved ISIS propaganda on his iCloud and Google account, participated in pro-ISIS Telegram groups, and contributed to a charity which fronts for and funnels money to ISIS. The complaint alleges that while liquidating their family's assets prior to the attack, Tawedi and his co-conspirator, who is a juvenile, advertised the sale of the family's personal property on Facebook. Not smart. At the FBI's direction, a confidential human source responded to inquire if a computer was still for sale. The FBI source noted that he needed the computer for a new gun business he was starting, which ultimately led Tawedi and the juvenile to meet with the source and other FBI assets at a rural location to test firearms. Tawedi expressed interest in purchasing two AK-47 assault rifles, magazines, and ammunition from the source. According to the criminal complaint on October 7th, Tawedi and the juvenile met with the FBI assets at a rural location in the Western District of Oklahoma and purchased, received, and took possession of two AK-47 assault rifles, 10 magazines, and 500 rounds of ammunition. Upon receipt of the rifles and ammunition, Tawedi and the juvenile were arrested. In his seized communications, Tawedi allegedly indicated that his attack was planned for Election Day. And in a post-arrest interview, Tawedi allegedly confirmed the attack was planned for Election Day, targeting large gatherings of people, during which he and the juvenile were expected to die as martyrs. Well, they may still get that chance. But this is another thing that I find so repulsive about that culture, such as it is, this ISIS culture, the radical Islamic culture, and that is they teach little children hatred almost from the time they leave the womb. They start teaching hatred, particularly hatred of Jews, to these little kids. And I find absolutely nothing justifiable in that. I mean, how bad could a nation's history be to generate that kind of hatred? And I can't help but arrive at the conclusion, personally, again, personal opinion, that these people are subhuman. And I would say then that they should be treated accordingly. They should be treated as a subhuman species. Now, I'm not saying Muslims should be treated this way, because it's not really a Muslim problem. It's a radical Muslim problem. Now, true, there are a lot of factions within the Muslim faith that are in sympathy with these people and will continue to be. But you can't judge all Muslims by the acts and actions of a few people like this guy, Tawhedi. Well, we know that. We know that. But what I'm leading up to here is something that I want you to scratch your head about over the next couple of days, knowing this about these people. And we have known this for decades. This is nothing new. My God, it's been 23 years since 9/11. And we knew about this kind of activity before 9/11. This is something we've been grappling with as a nation, as a culture, as a people, since the 1970s. This is nothing new. So why in the world would any presidential administration leave our borders wide open? And our borders have been wide open. So I have to keep wondering. I wonder this on a daily basis. How is it we haven't heard any charges being filed against administration officials for treason? They are endangering this country on a daily basis by leaving these borders open. And yet you have millions of people lining up waiting to vote for Kamala Harris, who can't even complete a simple sentence. This is just unfathomable. On my part, I don't know about yours. I'm sure you're scratching your head over this too. But it just drives me nuts, and which, by the way, is a very short drive for me, that this administration has been so careless, derelict of duty when it comes to the security of this nation. There is no security. And what little security we've got, we owe to people like the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, who's closed down the border, at least around Texas, as best he can. And when people get through, he rounds them up and buses them to sanctuary cities. And then, of course, the people in sanctuary cities complain about this, but when it comes to their city councils and their mayors, what do you expect? How do you expect rational people, like the people of Texas, to react in the face of something like this? The wholesale carelessness with the security of this country. It's tantamount to treason. Presidential candidate Kamala Harris was on ABC's The View Tuesday, and right out of the gate, they handed her a softball question. Well, I mean, what else are they going to do, right? Do you really think that the people on The View are going to hold her feet to the fire? She was asked what, if anything, she would have done differently than Joe Biden. And amazingly, she answered, "There's not a thing that comes to mind, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had an impact." As though she could willfully decide not to attend meetings that didn't have an impact, right? I mean, every time this woman opens her mouth, we get word salad. And it's incredible that she flubbed the answer to such an easy question. I mean, even the folks at CNN are shocked by her response. Now, after anchor Dana Bash teed up the segment, Molly Ball of the Wall Street Journal reacted with surprise. Molly Ball is what, Wall Street Journal's senior political correspondent? And she was on CNN with Dana Bash, this program called Inside Politics. She said that it's surprising that Democratic presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris said on ABC's The View that she would do nothing differently than President Joe Biden. And then Ball says, I'm surprised, frankly, that she doesn't have more to say about this, given that she and her campaign know that this is one of the main questions the voters have about her. One of the main things she's been trying to establish as part of her candidacy. Candidacy is the idea that she would represent a break from the past 4 years and to not be able to come up with something to say in that moment. She continues to not be particularly nimble on her feet in a lot of these interviews. Gee, you think? And then she added, this is a very obvious question that gave her an opportunity, frankly, to differentiate herself in a way that would have made news, that would have answered the curiosity of a lot of voters who want to know how she would lead differently. And somewhat resulted for much of the program afterward was, of course, it wasn't even denial. I got to hand it to CNN. They were not happy with Kamala Harris, and they made no secret of that. Kamala's appearance last Sunday on 60 Minutes was so bad. Here it is Thursday, and we're still talking about it. But there has been more news that has surfaced since then, and this is what I find just absolutely amazing. I'm not surprised that CBS News is under fire. After it emerged the other day that the network edited out a portion of her interview. They had to. There was too much word salad. Now, the original unedited clip featured Harris fumbling through a response about the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas, of which I'd be willing to bet a week's pay she knows nothing about. But it's since been conspicuously removed from the final aired segment. Now, recently, Israel has escalated its military campaign in southern Lebanon. They've had to. And they're targeting Hezbollah, while airstrikes continue in Beirut, and Israeli forces raise their flag near a Lebanese village, and Israel's prime minister announced the killing of Hezbollah's new leader. Israel is making some real progress. And in response, Hezbollah launched over 100 rockets at Haifa and Galilee and now supports ceasefire efforts. Well, Sunday's interview, conducted by CBS correspondent Bill Whitaker, was supposed to showcase Harris's foreign policy acumen, a crucial aspect as she navigates the presidential campaign. However, during the original segment, Whitaker posed a question regarding Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's response to U.S. diplomatic efforts in the Middle East. And Harris' answer, filled with vague statements and repetitive phrases, drew a boatload of criticism online. All right, so Whitaker asked, quote, but it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening. And in response, Harris said, well, Bill, the work that we've done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region. We're not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end. That was her answer. Wow. And a lot of people on the internet, on the World Wide Web, labeled that answer as incoherent. And it was met with a wave of backlash all over social media, with a lot of people accusing the vice president of dodging the question and failing to offer any substantial insight into the administration's plans for resolving the conflict. However, the aired version of the interview saw this entire portion removed, replaced by a much shorter and more polished response from Harris. So it's no secret that Harris has struggled with clear messaging in the past, with numerous instances of her making convoluted or unclear statements during interviews. But CBS's decision to eliminate what was, for a lot of viewers, a revealing moment suggests a calculated move to protect the Democrat candidate from criticism. But then again, this is nothing new. This is what the mainstream media does. So this comes, of course, as the Harris campaign is ramping up their media appearances. They don't have much time left. We are now under a month away from the election. But meanwhile, she's been making the rounds, appearing on platforms that generally provide a more favorable environment, right? Do you think she's going to walk into the lion's den? Not no, but hell no. And just this past weekend, she sat down with Alex Cooper, host of the popular Call Her Daddy podcast, an interview aimed at reaching younger female voters. And of course, it was a friendly atmosphere toward Kamala. And this isn't the first time Harris interview responses have sparked controversy. I mean, Lord knows, in recent months, oh my gosh, she's been accused of avoiding direct answers, resorting to filler statements that lack substance. I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood. How many times did we hear that lead into an answer? And this week marked a change as Americans saw Harris dashing through a series of media stops aimed at maximizing her visibility. But it doesn't maximize her substance because there isn't any. She started her day on ABC's The View and plans to continue with an interview with radio host Howard Stern. That I think already happened. Followed by a segment on Stephen Colbert's late night show. Stephen Colbert. Oh my God. This guy is a total no talent. How in the world did he get an entertainment contract with CBS? Our buddy Elon Musk believes that the alleged UFOs seen zipping around the United States are not extraterrestrial life, but are more likely the U.S. government's new weapons programs that are highly classified. Now, Musk revealed that he hasn't seen any evidence of aliens while in charge of his exploration technologies company known as SpaceX. And he did this during an interview with none other than Tucker Carlson. This interview went down on Monday, and Musk admitted, he says, there's a lot we don't know. Where did we come from? Where are the aliens? Well, it's kind of interesting. Where are the aliens? We haven't seen them. We just seen objects, but we've not seen any real aliens. And he said there are over 6,000 satellites in orbit, and yet they've not once had to maneuver around an alien spacecraft. Good point. Now, SpaceX has over 6,300 active Starlink satellites in low Earth orbit as of this September. And this is according to the nonprofit satellite tracker, CelesTrack. Now, Carlson asked why there are reports on Earth about U.S. military having to do a lot of maneuvering around objects they can't explain. And Musk said, well, unidentified flying objects are one thing, but there are always a bunch of classified programs that are underway. And then he claimed the government is likely regularly testing new aircraft, new missiles and things that are classified at such a high level that even those high up in the chain of command in the U.S. military may not be aware they're being tested, which is a great point. He said some pilot sees something moving fast and says, hey, I saw a UFO. But it could be a new weapons program that's being experimented with on a need-to-know basis. But he guaranteed that he would not keep that information from the public if he found any evidence of aliens. Quoting him, he says, the split second I see any evidence of aliens, I'll immediately post that on the X platform. It'll probably be our number one post of all time. Now, in, 2023, Musk said he hoped the little green men were real and, more importantly, friendly. But he didn't believe the government was hiding the existence of extraterrestrials or extraterrestrial beings from the public. In fact, he argued that the government would villainize aliens if it knew of their existence to easily greenlight military spending, which is a great point. Now, while no recent alien sightings by service members were confirmed to be extraterrestrial life in the government report from 2023, Congress is requiring the Pentagon to look into its UFO files dating back to the end of World War II. Now, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, you know, DNI, reviewed 366 newly identified military sightings of unidentified aerial phenomena. So it's Pentagon jargon for UFOs. And of those, 26 were found to be drones, 163 were balloon or balloon-like entities, and 6 were attributed to clutter in the air. Yes, we have clutter in the air. And last fall, the Pentagon launched a new portal where current and former service members, government employees, and contractors can report UFO sightings. So the Pentagon has an interest in this stuff. But what are we likely to learn from all of this? Probably nothing we don't already know or haven't already suspected. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and get some good, solid laughs from Phil Palasol.
Etymology! Let's talk about that while we're all here. Etymology. That is the study of words. You know that. Entomology. That is the study of bugs. Yeah, and I don't know what you call it when you study words that bug you, but that's what I do. Pretty much throughout today. And I don't know, man, I don't know if this is true of other languages, but the English language, man, we've got a lot of jacked up stupid words. They gotta go. Unbeknownst. You're gone. Unbeknownst. Nothing is ever benownst. That's what bugs me about it. You hear people say it all the time. I was unbeknownst to me. I had no idea, but nobody ever calls money. I'm like, geez, dude. At what point did you benew it? You had to benew. We even knew something was going on. How could you not benew? Extraordinary. Out. Extraordinary. More ordinary. Who wants that? You are extraordinary. Can I tell you that, man? You are ordinary plus. Extravaganza. So long. More vaganza. What am I supposed to do with all this vaganza I got laying about? Now I've got extravaganza. Deterred. Don't say it ever again. I read that the other day. He was going to go downtown, but he was deterred. I was like, got to be kidding me. Oh, my gosh. I have to go downtown. I wonder what that deterring process is all about. It's awful. Sometimes it's a single word like that bugs me, and then sometimes it's a whole string of words. I don't even understand how they ever came together, to tell you the truth. Dead in the water. Why is that different from just dead? Did you hear what happened to Joe? He died. Oh, gosh, no. Was he wet? Horrible if he was wet. It goes without saying, and not to mention, should just be followed by silence. But they're not. Every time somebody says not to mention, they just go right on mentioning something. It was the least I could do. Why would you say that ever? It was the least. That's what you chose to do. The least. Every time somebody says that to me, all I hear is, well, I really wanted to do nothing, but I couldn't get away with it. So I pushed myself, and I did the minimally acceptable amount. There's dozens of them. It goes on and on and on and on, by all means. You ever been hit with that one? Ugh, it's a favorite of a friend of mine. He comes over the other day, and I said, can I get you some water? And he said, sure, by all means. I was like, oh, God, wait a minute. You want me to get you water, by all means? You want it from a hose? You want it from a squirt gun? You want a hand scoop it out of the aquarium? How do you want this water?
Make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today and every day just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.